I get lost a lot, particularly in parking garages. The worst is when I go to a big hospital, because often I'll be thinking about the person that I want to get to pray with, and I'll completely forget where I parked. This happened just a few days ago. I went to Baptist downtown. One of our parishioners was having heart surgery. I wanted to be sure I got to his bedside before he was taken back. So, of course, I jumped out of my car, shut the door, locked it, and ran to the elevator. Took the elevator and ran all over the hospital till I located him, and we said a beautiful prayer, and I blessed him. It was good. I get back to the parking garage and think, oh, no. I know I got in the elevator, but I have no idea what floor I parked on, let alone what space I parked in. Was it the second floor? Was it the fifth floor? So I start walking. You know how it goes sort of on a ramp all the way up each floor? So I'm walking all the way up one floor and then the other, and people are looking at me like, what's she doing? And I'm looking all over the place for my car, and I walk all the way up to the fifth floor. I knew I wasn't on the roof. I did know that. And then I walk all the way down, and I still can't find my car, so I say one of those dumb prayers, you know, like when you pray for better gas mileage or when you pray for not to be late. It's not exactly a life-changing moment, but I said, God, I'm lost. Can you find my car? And sure enough, within a minute, I saw it. I have a question for you this morning, and it's this. Why Mary Magdalene? She was the most unlikely witness to the resurrection. Why her? Did you know that back in Jesus' day, women were not considered human beings? They were considered like a container for the purpose of having babies. Seriously. They were not allowed to testify in court because they weren't considered people. So why would you choose her as your witness if she's not allowed to testify? And not only that, but not only Mary Magdalene was a woman, she was also a demoniac. Everybody knew she had been possessed by demons, 7 to be exact. And if you read from the Gospels, demoniacs tended to hang out in graveyards, and they'd do bizarre things like tearing off their clothes or hitting themselves with rocks or screaming at things that nobody could see. Everybody thought they were crazy. No one wanted to be near them. So God chooses a woman who was a demoniac, who everybody thought was crazy, as the first witness of the resurrection? Why? You know, other than the creation of the world, the resurrection was the most important thing that God ever did. And that's saying something. Today is not just one holiday among many. This is the most important of all the Christian holidays. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, you and I would not know who he was today. There were plenty of preachers that talked about God and wandered the Galilean countryside. There were plenty of preachers that healed people and performed miracles and exorcisms. There were plenty of preachers who claimed to speak prophetically on behalf of God. We would not know who Jesus was if he hadn't risen from the dead. But once he had risen, that's when people realized he wasn't just a preacher, he was God. Can you imagine if the resurrection hadn't happened? We would not be Christian. The world would not have Christianity. The whole world would look different. This was the most important thing that God did in the history of humanity. And God relied on Mary Magdalene to spread the news. Why? God's ways are not our ways, you know. God's ways are better. I believe that God chose Mary Magdalene because of one simple thing. When everyone else ran, when everyone else despaired, when everyone else gave up hope, she stayed. And not only did she stay, but she admitted that she was lost. When you and I go through hardship, when we struggle, when it seems like everything is falling apart, you're going to want to run. But it's at that very moment that you need to think about Mary Magdalene, who didn't run, who just waited. And I believe in that moment when she was weeping outside the tomb, when everyone else had left, when it was dark and horrible, I believe in that moment she finally said, the one thing that we all need to say, help me. I can't do this anymore by myself. I'm totally lost. I give my life over to you, God. You take control because my way is not working anymore. Mary Magdalene fell apart and said, Jesus, save me. And it was in that moment that new life began. You see, my friends, resurrection is not just about going to God when you die. And this is the real secret to it. Resurrection can happen here and now. It happens when you let God take control of your life. In that moment, something miraculous happens. Something absolutely incredible. That's when new life begins. And it can happen here and now. Christina grew up in the perfect family. She had three brothers and sisters. Her mother and father were so attractive and so successful, and everyone thought they had it all together. A beautiful house, a lot of money, good schools. Christina was pretty. She was popular. But inside, she felt this huge emptiness and this huge, devouring loneliness. When Christina was 14 years old, her parents were throwing a big party, and she went down into the basement. She found a bottle of alcohol that belonged to her dad, and she began to drink. And when she drank, that emptiness was filled. She felt so confident. She felt so beautiful. So she kept on drinking. She would hide bottles in her room. After a few months, she began climbing out her window late at night and joining some friends. And then she met Ben. He became her boyfriend, and he introduced her to cocaine. Christina's life began to unravel, and her parents did everything they could to try to help her. They got her into rehab and detox programs, but she would lie and she would run away. She ended up on the street, living without a home, selling herself for drugs. This went on for years until one morning, early in the morning, just as the sun was rising, she woke up on the floor of a bathroom in the gas station, sick and miserable. And she said, God, help me. I'm lost. I can't do this myself anymore. She found a payphone and she called her mom, and her mom got her into a rehab facility. And in that moment, new life began. And it wasn't easy, don't get me wrong. It wasn't paradise. She had to work really hard. It was so painful. She had to go back and tell everyone who she had hurt that she was sorry. She had to learn to live her life all over again. But something happened that morning when she said, I need you, God, to be in control now. When my son Max was just 4, we went to Anaheim, California. I was going to a conference, but the rest of the boys and JD went to Disneyland. Well, somehow in the midst of all the crowds and all the games and rides, Max got lost. 4 years old, lost in that huge place with all those people. But we had taught him one thing. It's kind of counterintuitive, but we tell our children, when you get lost, don't run. Instead, find someone that looks safe and stay right where you are. Max looked for a policeman, but he couldn't find one. So he saw a man in a wheelchair who had kids and a wife, and he thought he looked okay. He told the man that he was lost, and the man called the park authorities, and of course JD had already alerted everybody and was frantically looking around. Max stayed right where he was until his father found him. If you're despairing and you run, God will let you run. But if you stay, God will find you. You know, that's why I think that Jesus said, blessed are the poor, and blessed are the hungry, and blessed are those who mourn. Because when we go through pain and struggle, that's when we're likely to admit that we're lost. That's when we're likely to say, I need some help. And so it makes us blessed, as hard as it is. It blesses us. Because we're ready to let God take over. When we're comfortable, when everything's going great, what reason have we to give over our life to God? We think we can do it ourselves. You know, the latest wisdom is that we all need to put our cell phones away in the car. And I know this. I know I shouldn't pick it up. I shouldn't talk on the phone. I shouldn't look at my texts. But I find myself hearing it go, and I want to grab it. I'm at a red light. I can look at it. If it's hard to give up control of my cell phone, how much harder is it to give up control of our lives? How much harder is it to say, God, you take the driver's seat, you take the steering wheel? It's counterintuitive, I know. But it is the way to resurrection life. So on this morning, I invite you to begin to say to God, I can't do this by myself. You know, there's a great old saying, at the end of your life, are you going to say to God, thy will be done? Or is God going to say to you, thy will be done? Which one will it be? Who do you think knows how to live your life better anyway? You? Amen.